Jesus is risen. He is risen. Yes, I love Easter. I love the fact that every year in the church calendar, we have this opportunity to be reminded of the victory, that we serve a victorious Christ, that we're victors in Him, that we're not victims, we're victors. And so Easter is an awesome, awesome, awesome time. And so I'm just, you know what? I'm just happy about that. Is that all right? Okay. So I'm just going to be happy about that over here by myself. So, hey, this morning we're launching a three-part series. And I hope you can make it over the next 3 weeks because what we're talking about is Jesus. So we're talking about the Jesus I never knew. It's the things about Jesus you may not have ever thought about. And so we're doing that starting today, three parts, the Jesus I never knew, things that we maybe never considered before about Jesus, because the truth be told, over the years, for me anyway, I've kind of developed certain ideas about Jesus. And where do we get most of our ideas about Jesus? Church, movies, right? Oh, you know what? We won't be taking questions this morning, but thank you. So we're not going to take your questions. Keep them to yourself. But we get these ideas about Jesus, right? We get ideas about Jesus from paintings. We get ideas about Jesus from movies. We get ideas about Jesus from church, from Sunday school, right? And so I'm going to kind of just share with you. I wanted to share with you real quick just a couple ideas or concepts that we get about Jesus. Do you guys know the flannel graph Jesus? Is anybody familiar with the flannel graph Jesus? Y'all know that Jesus, right? Maybe if you grew up in church or if you've been to Sunday school as a kid, maybe your Sunday school teacher used a flannel graph to teach you. And it's usually a kind of a very sort of friendly-looking Jesus, right? It's the flannel graph Jesus, and she takes Jesus, which is a lot like kind of like the next Jesus, really, which is the Robert Powell Jesus. Do you guys know this Jesus? Okay, if you're old like me, yea, I say, ancient, every year around this time, they would show a mini-series on television called Jesus of Nazareth. You guys remember that? Anybody remember that? Robert Powell played Jesus of Nazareth. And when I was a kid, that was my picture of Jesus right there when I was a kid. Okay? The stoic Jesus. The Jesus that, oh, pretty much he has that look on his face the entire movie. Speaks with a British accent. The white Jesus. Literally when I was a kid and I pictured Jesus, it was the Robert Powell, Jesus of Nazareth, stoic Jesus. And then there's the Good Shepherd Jesus, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Carrying the little lamb, that's how we picture Jesus. Always, his robes always look clean, never full of lamb duty, just clean. He probably smells good, which would be unusual for a shepherd, okay? Holding the lamb, the glowing head. That was, you know, the Good Shepherd Jesus. That's what a lot of people picture when they think of Jesus. Anybody ever picture that when you think of Jesus? The Good Shepherd? One or two of you? Okay. Then there's this one. Oh, yeah. The Abercrombie Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? This is the Jesus that's just so good looking, right? This is the Jesus that I have a very hard time relating to. You know what I mean? Because most of the time when we meet somebody who just looks that good, there's just something disingenuous about them, isn't it? Something not quite, you know. I'm not judging people who are really good looking or are models, but I just have a hard time relating to that. Look at the perfect hair. Perfect beard. Everything is just perfect about this Jesus. And Scripture tells us, though, that he wasn't much to look upon. You know, that he probably wasn't a very handsome man. So there's the model Jesus, the runway model Jesus. Then there's this one here, the conqueror Jesus. This is the Jesus that conquered death, you know. I like that Jesus, but that's not Jesus, okay? So we picture that type of Jesus, and you know, maybe you've had different ideas about Jesus throughout your lifetime. Maybe going to church, you've picked up different concepts of Jesus. What does he look like? What does he smell like? Is he, you know, all those things? Maybe he's like that. You can bring it down there. That's just, yeah, thank you. That's the mixed martial artist Jesus. That's the Andy Boswell Jesus. The muscular guy. Okay? The cop Jesus. And so, you know, we have different... But, you know, today, out of all the Jesuses, all of the ideas of Jesus that you can have, all the ideas, all the concepts, all the ideas that you can think about Jesus, really, I want to talk about a Jesus that you may or may not have thought about before. And we're going to talk about, actually, again, for the next couple weeks. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. But I want to talk about the extravagantly generous Jesus. And a lot of times when we think of Jesus, we don't always think extravagantly generous Jesus. You know, if you're like me, you think Robert Powell. You know, he's just kind of this, you know, heavenly rise, you know. And this is the Jesus, though. This is the Jesus that said, look, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms and he died. It's this extravagantly loving Jesus. This is the Jesus who died for our sins, but you know what? He came back to life and he walked out of his tomb and he gives us access to the very same power that raised him from the dead. This is this extravagant Jesus that unfairly, might I say, lavishes love on us. You know, we love fairness, don't we? It's all about getting what you deserve. Anybody here ever watch Survivor? Nobody watches Survivor? Me and Wendy watch Survivor, okay? And every once in a while, there will be a guy in the tribe who's a real jerk. And he gets voted out. And we both go, he got what he deserved, you know? Serves him right for being such a pompous creep, you know? But this is the Jesus that looks at pompous creeps, that looks at losers, that looks at vagabonds, that looks at people who have messed up, that looks at people that have done the most heinous things and goes, I love you. I love you. And I want to give to you the same power that brought me out of the grave. And so this is this extravagantly generous Jesus. So what does Scripture say about this? How can we apply this to this life? Why does this even matter? We're going to talk about that, but I want to pray first, okay? So let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that you would reveal to us the heart of Jesus this morning. God, that we would be people that know the heart of Christ, that know who he is, that know and experience and accept his love. Lord, that you would open our eyes, give us a revelation of the risen Christ this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's what we're going to do today, guys. We're going to start off with a scripture. This is John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And so it's really interesting because it's Jesus' first miracle, okay? And so we look at Jesus' first miracle. When did he choose to perform his first miracle? He's at a wedding, as most of you guys know that. Jesus is at a wedding. And so what's happening is, as you could consider this the wedding reception. Anybody been to a wedding reception? Anybody ever been to one that went really late? Yeah, okay, and there's like dancing, and nobody has shoes on anymore, and there's a bunch of, you know, half glasses of wine all over the tables, and, you know, so imagine you're at a wedding, and so Jesus is there, and it's late, but they've run out of wine, okay? Pretty big deal to run out of wine at a wedding in Jesus' time. It's late in the celebration, and so Jesus performs his first miracle. This is great. So it says right here, starting with verse 1, it says, the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Isn't that interesting that they mention that Jesus' mother was there? My mother's here today, right over there. So, sweet white-haired lady, go ahead and give her a hug afterwards, all right? So, she loves hugs from strangers. you're welcome. And so Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Don't you love mothers? I love mothers, okay? So he said, Jesus' mother says, they have no more wine. Jesus says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, okay. My time has not yet come. I love this. Okay, listen to this carefully because it sounds so much like a mother. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. It's like his mother never even heard that he was refusing to do it. Isn't that a mother? Yeah, so she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars. Everybody say six stone water jars. Okay, that's important. used for the Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons, okay? Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it came from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. He brings out the Pabst Blue Ribbon, right? And so he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Did you guys catch that? I want you to understand something right there. It says, this was the first time Jesus revealed his glory. How did Jesus reveal his glory? Extravagant generosity. He didn't reveal his glory by levitating off the ground. He didn't reveal his glory by guessing people's weight, which I bet you Jesus would have been awesome at that, you know. He didn't do any of those things, but when he decided he was going to reveal his glory, it was with an act of generosity. You guys have to understand something here. He made 180 gallons of wine. 180 gallons of wine. Do you guys know what that? That's 908 bottles. Jesus made 908 bottles. Listen, I'm sure it was already late, right? It was already late in the celebration since they ran out of wine. He could have went, hey guys, all right, here's a dozen bottles to get you through the night. He could have did that. That would have been fair, right? Here's a few bottles. You're good to go. If you need anything, talk to my mother, okay? Instead, he goes, oh, you need some wine? Here's 908 bottles. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Here's 908 bottles. It's called above and beyond, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's the extravagant generosity of Jesus. We have to understand that's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus we follow, okay? So if you remember one thing this morning, no matter how much you think that Jesus loves you, no matter how generous that you think Jesus is, or how forgiving he is, or how kind you think he is, Jesus' love for you is greater than you will ever comprehend. Jesus' love for you is greater than you will ever imagine. If you think Jesus loves you this much, you're way off. If you think Jesus loves you this much, still no. If you think Jesus loves you this much, nope, you're still way off. You don't get it, okay? He doesn't love you just a couple of bottles of wine, 908 bottles of wine, okay? He loves you so much that you just won't understand. You'll never understand. Think about it. If you're a parent, do you think your kids understand how much you love them? Not even close. Not even close. I remember one thing that when my first son was born, I remember as he was growing up and I'm raising him and I'm changing diapers and I'm chasing him around and I'm trying to teach him things. I remember thinking to myself, I had this realization, this boy will never, ever understand how much I love him. You never figured it out, okay? And the other thing was this. This boy will never love me the way I love him. This boy will never, and if you're a parent, you know that. Because you're like, you love your kids and you'll do anything for your kids. And like, you're lucky if they even remember it's your birthday. You know what I'm talking about? So, and I'm not saying you guys are bad at that. You're all good at that when your mom reminds you, okay? But you know, and so we have to understand that we will never understand, we'll never comprehend Jesus' love because it's so infinite, it's so massive, it's so big, okay? And so a lot of times we feel like the Lord, have you ever felt like the Lord just sort of tolerates you? You know, I know that God tolerates me. He must just tolerate me because I'm such a screw up, you know? I know that God loves me in that he doesn't just like kick me out of the house, right? But it's so much more than that. We think that the Lord maybe is even just sort of indifferent to us. You know, all right, get in. You know what I mean? Welcome. All right. And we sort of feel like, you know, Jesus is sort of letting us in the back door. He tolerates us. Yeah, he loves us, you know. But he loves us more than we'll ever comprehend. Jesus doesn't just toss us scraps. He doesn't just sort of, yeah, okay, I guess, you know. He lavishes his love on us. He lavishes it. Lavishes it. Okay? And since the other thing is this. The second thing is that Jesus is epic and he's intimate. What does that mean? Jesus is epic and he's intimate. All right? Isaiah 6:3 tells us that the whole earth is filled with his glory. That's epic, isn't it? When the whole earth is filled with someone's glory, when you can look outside and you can see leaves on the trees and you go, wow, the trees are filled with God's glory. Wow, look at, it's raining out. The earth is filled with his glory. Look at, he created everything. He sneezed and the universe went. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Jesus is epic. Have you ever gone to the Grand Canyon? Okay, I have. You want to know what the first thought I thought of when I saw this incredibly beautiful expanse? When you see the Grand Canyon, it's like, okay? First thought that came to my head, maybe I'm a lunatic. Probably am. But first thought was, I wish I could fly. I would fly through those canyons. I would know those canyons. I would become intimate with those canyons. It's awesome, you know? But I couldn't because, you know, that would be crazy. They'd be scraping me off the ground, right? But Jesus is so epic, and he says, psh, and I want you to know it all. I want you to swim in my goodness, to swim in my love. I want to become intimate with you. The whole earth is filled with his glory. He created the stars. He created the sky. He created the sun to warm the light and the earth. He formed the mountains, right? He filled the seas. He designed the beauty of sunsets. Oh, I love a good sunset. Man, a sunset will stop me in my tracks. A sunset will cause me to get in an accident. Hasn't happened yet. But when you're driving and you see a sunset off to the west and you're like, oh, that's beautiful. Jesus designed that. He made that. He made it so that it looks like that. He engineered the most incredible ecosystem. It was awesome. Okay? All of creation has his fingerprints on it. That's how epic he is. Yet he goes, hey, come and be friends with me. He calls us and he draws us. He draws us near to him and he says, let's be intimate friends. Let's be intimate. This epic God says, let's be intimate friends. You know, we live in like this sort of celebrity culture, right? I mean, you can't, you know, it's not like they have a magazine called Ordinary Dude Weekly, you know. It's like celebrities, it's always this like famous person, politician, something like that. We live in a celebrity culture where people brag about meeting famous people, right? Anybody here ever meet someone famous? Anybody here ever tell all your friends about it? Yeah, okay, we do, right? Okay, if you took a selfie with Will Smith, would you share it on Facebook? Yes, you would. You wouldn't just be like, I'm going to cherish that in my heart. No, you know, you'd be telling everybody. And so we meet famous people, we brag about it. I've met famous people before. Wendy and I got to be in a couple of movies. It was so cool. Morgan Freeman was there scooping ice cream, and Christian Bale was there with his girlfriend, yeah, doing this. And it was just crazy, you know. Johnny Depp was throwing popcorn in people's mouths. It was weird, okay? But you remember that? He was tossing popcorn in people's mouths. Anyway, so unfortunately, here's the thing. Famous people aren't just waiting around for strangers to come be friends with them, right? In fact, when we were on the movie set, they would tell us, don't talk to the celebrities. Don't even look at them in some cases. One guy, I won't tell you who he is, but it's Michael Bolton, and he was at the iWireless Center doing a concert, and his people went to tell the iWireless staff in advance, when you see Michael walk down the hallway, you turn away and don't look at him. Okay, so it's not like celebrities are just waiting for, you know, common folk to come and be their friends. This one guy, he met Bill Murray at a McDonald's. Actually, what happened is Bill Murray just came up to his table and started eating fries off of his tray. And then when the guy looked at him like, what are you doing? Bill goes, no one's ever going to believe you. And he takes the rest and walks away. There was one guy, he's at an intersection. He just happens to be at an intersection right next to Harrison Ford, okay? And so he's sitting there, and he looks over at Harrison Ford, and he realizes who he is. And as soon as Harrison Ford sees the guy looking at him, he flips him the finger and drives off, okay? It's not like celebrities are wanting to be friends with us, right? One time I met Lou Ferrigno. Y'all know who that is, right? The Incredible Hulk, all right? The Jesus model, okay? I met Lou Ferrigno at a comic book convention, and I went out and I just extended my hand to him, and he didn't extend his hand back, and he took a step back and goes, "If you want a picture, it's $10. So it's not like they're just like wanting to make buddies, but here we have Jesus. Here we have Jesus, who's bigger than the Beatles. Those of you old enough to get that reference, Jesus is bigger than the Beatles, okay? The most famous, epic, powerful person of all. And not only does he want to know us, he wants to be intimate friends with us. He wants to be intimate friends, best friends, besties, right? You know, I heard a great quote last night. Every other religion, every other faith, people lay out a table and they want their God to come to them, right? They hope, they wish, they seek for their God. But you know, in Christianity, what happens? Jesus is the one laying out the table. Our God lays out a table and he seeks for us to come and to be intimate with him. Oh, that is so wonderful that we have this lavishly generous, loving Jesus. If we would just understand that, okay, that Jesus is approachable. He's approachable. And no matter how bad we've messed up, no matter how bad, we can still approach him. And he says, "I want to be friends. I want to lavish my love on you. I do. It doesn't matter who you are." Lastly is this, Jesus is lavish with himself. With himself, right? Jesus is lavish with himself. He didn't just give his life for you. You know, say, "Oh yeah, Jesus gave his life for me on the cross." He didn't just give his life for you. He gives his life to you. He gives it to you. And we've got to understand that Jesus wants to give his life to you, to walk with us, to give us his time, that regardless of who we are or where we are or what kind of condition we're in, Jesus offers his time. Jesus offers his touch. Jesus offers his words to us. He gives his life to us lavishly and generously. Okay? And so we've got to understand that he is lavishly generous, okay? And so that's what Jesus came for. That's what Jesus offers us. So what does Jesus offer us? Because a lot of times, what do we think about when we think about what Jesus offers us? Forgiveness, right? Don't we think that? And yeah, he does offer us forgiveness. But guess what? There's a lot more than just forgiveness. There's so much more. And so we think that Jesus just offers us forgiveness. We get our ticket into heaven, and we think that's it. But if we think that's it, we're not even seeing the tip of the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. There's so much more, okay? And so that's what he came for. He offers us life. He died and rose again so that we could have that life abundant, that life plus, okay? And it's a life that matters. It is. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what all of us want, really? A life that matters? Okay, it's a life that matters. It's a life that's full. It's a life that's meaningful. It's a life that's free. And guess what? He gives it to us today. He offers us that life today. He's that good. He's that good. So I guess my question is what is your perception of Jesus? Is he the God hates fags Jesus? Is that your idea of Jesus, the Westboro Baptist Jesus? Is he the Jesus that's just sort of tolerates you, that says, "Hey, your past is pretty checkered. I'll let you in, but you're going to have to sit in the back." Is that your perception of Jesus? Is it the angry, wrathful Jesus? You know, it's so funny. It's like when we come to Jesus, who offers us this insane freedom, the first thing that we do is we get religious. And we try to earn the love that he's giving us for free. That's not the Jesus that I know. That's not the Jesus that died on the cross for us. It's not the Jesus who loves you and wants more of you today. He's not a Jesus that's far off. He's not a Jesus that's aloof. He's a Jesus that loves you now, here, where you are, as you are. Okay? And maybe you think that Jesus is mad at you. Ugh, what a horrible place to be to think that Jesus is mad at us. right? Maybe you had a parent or two parents that got mad at you, and it always seemed to take like 4 or 5 days for them to cool off before you can get around them again. You know, that's not Jesus. Can I just say that? There's no cooling off period with Jesus. He loves you. He's not mad at you, okay? He's not far off. And I pray this morning that you would just experience a richness and a rich, extravagant generosity today. We're going to end in just a minute here. But I just want to pray for people today. I feel like people are stuck in that wrong perception of Jesus. That they feel like that they're on the outs with Jesus, or that Jesus just tolerates them. But Jesus is saying today that he loves you, period. And nothing matters more than his love for you. And it's so immense, and it's so intense. And if we would just accept that and just walk in that we'll find that life that he's offering us, that fullness that he's offering us. And so I'm not quite sure how to do this, so let me just pray and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come in your resurrection power. Come in your truth. Come in your light. Illuminate Jesus for us. Give us a deeper understanding. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, we praise you, God. So I want to pray for anybody here today. You don't have to stand up or anything, but maybe you're here today and you're going, yeah, that's me. I'm just in a place in my life right now where I feel like I'm in the back seat of the Jesus bus. I got to go sit in the back. I'm on the bus, but I'm in the back seat. He loves me, but he's not in love with me. And those are your feelings and those are your thoughts about your position in Christ. If that's you, I just want to just slip up your hand. I'm not going to have you guys stand. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. I just want to say a quick prayer for you. Is anybody else? Anybody else? I just believe that God wants to touch you today. Yeah. Anyone else? God wants to really touch you. Okay, let's pray. Father, I just pray for those who feel today like Jesus loves them, but it's really more of sort of like it's a tolerating love. It's not a lavish love. It's not a call to intimacy love. It's just you're relegated to the back of the bus love. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts, that you would move on them. And God, even today, that you would give them a demonstration of your love, that you would open their eyes to see your love and your call to friendship. We thank you, Jesus, that you didn't just make a dozen bottles of wine. It was 908. And your generosity revealed your glory. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so Bethany's going to come, and for offering.